I want to read first of all tonight Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when we come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified the Lord Jesus. And go over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the son of Abraham, who shall are among you fear God to you as the prophet of this salvation, saying, for they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor heard the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, they desired before that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And there are verses in Hebrews chapter 10, a verse that was quoted in the preaching already tonight, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Again, this man, when the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That is our reading tonight. When they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Acts 13 tells us that God raised him from the dead. And after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Some have said this, that we may speak of the Lord Jesus as much as we wish and praise him to the bounds of our capacity without ever being reprimanded by heaven for exaggerating his excellences. And yet, when they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. The hymn writer said, behold, a spotless victim dies, my surety on the tree, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice he gave himself for me. Whatever curse was mine he bore, the wormwood and the gall, therein that blown mysterious over my cup, he drained it all. Someone again has said this, at Calvary, the two sheaves met in one contending flood, the tidal wave of righteous wrath, and all the love of God. Then high upon the tree for sin, the Son of God was nailed, the tidal wave of wrath was spent, and love divine revealed. When they came to the place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. And it has been pointed out that God through the worst deed in history and turned it into the greatest. Now I'm going to change the hymn tonight, and that was why we did sing 773, because there are words there that we'd just like to fall back on as we think of the message of the gospel tonight. And the chorus said this: mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And that's what we want to think about tonight: God's mercy and God's grace and God's pardon and our burden and the liberty that we can enjoy through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. You know, the place, the name Calvary, is only mentioned once in our Bible. If you look at the other three Gospels, they speak about Golgotha. Calvary is only mentioned once by name in our Bible. And yet again, as we pointed out, that Calvary is the centre of world history. It shows the highest measure of love, the deepest measure of suffering, and the widest measure of salvation. Now again, I'm sure we've all heard the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and we know that there were two crucified with him. One of these thieves that said that he railed on him. The other one acknowledged, we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And this really confirms what had already been said by Pilate: I find no fault in this man. And there that day, that thief acknowledged the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And the Lord Jesus says to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So that thief, first of all tonight, that thief on the cross, he found that mercy there was great. Again, we understand this, that salvation is given, it is not earned. as though the coming of a new reef, or the receiving of a new life. Whereas people believe that Christ died, that is history. But you know, when it comes to believing that Christ died for me, then that is God's salvation. I wonder tonight now, has everybody in the hall personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour? Again, I've been told you that the religion can inform and reform, but it cannot transform. And it's only the power of God in a person's life, the trusting of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour, that can bring a transformation in a person's life. Again, as we go through the Gospel, there are so many different occasions in the lifetime of the Lord Jesus where people cry out for mercy, and every one of them received it. He said to so many people, go in peace. And I pray tonight he will say that to you as well, if you trust him as your own and personal Saviour. Now, I was just sitting thinking there, just reflecting, maybe outside of old age or anyone, just reflecting, over the years we've come about an agreement. Now, I was baptised upstairs in the hall, Bill King baptised me upstairs in the hall. And the first time he came along to the Gospel meeting was with our brother John and Jim Wardlaw. He brought us along to the Gospel meeting, and I'm going back to when I was maybe 16 or 17 then. I think I've got a great memory. But that was the first time I think I'd ever preached the Gospel, was up there with Jim Wardlaw and John one Sunday evening. You know, in Psalm 51 it says, this, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And that was all I had to offer that night. When I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, I had nothing to offer. But again, the Word of God says this, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So again, I say that nothing is more deadly than self-righteousness and more hopeful than contrition. And I can remember that night still, way back in December 1951, in a bedroom there in North Melbourne, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I cried for mercy, and God had mercy upon my soul, and God saved me. Again, someone has said that what God has done in Christ for man is so complete that all that man can do is accepted by faith. I wonder tonight, have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Have you ever shown repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your own and personal salvation? Now in Isaiah chapter 1, the word comes forth, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though the red light comes in, they shall be as blue. And finally, that is again, God wants to show us mercy. But again, remember this, there are conditions laid down. Again, as I said, there must be that repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ to receive this mercy and blessing and salvation. The other Psalm was written in 3, and we often think about it in our reading, in our meditation, verse of all, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and so on. But verse 8 points out this, that the Lord is merciful and gracious, he is slow to anger, and he is plenteous in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have removed their transgressions. So we see there that God's mercy cannot be measured and it cannot be exhausted. Again, verse 17 says this, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You see, there's no beginning to it and there's no end to it. It is an everlasting mercy. When we go to Luke chapter 18, we read about a man there, two men that go up to a temple to pray. And one of them is so full of himself and he just he spoke within himself, but was already speaking to himself there as he prayed. He's prayer didn't go any further than himself. But he got another man there, and it says of him that he could not as much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Lord, don't be merciful to me, a sinner. All this man wanted was mercy. And we find this, that it said in verse 14, that this man went down to his house pronounced of righteous. He asked for mercy. He had nothing to offer. Broken the contrite heart of God and not destroyed, and not really hard. And that day that he received mercy because he asked for it. The same as the Apostle Paul, and again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says concerning himself that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and endured it, but he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in time. So I say, never let a bleak past cloud a bright future, and that is what you will have tonight if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Paul reckoned himself to be the chief of sinners. I think that Paul regretted for the rest of his days what he had done to the Lord's people in earlier days. And again, this would be what they can see in his zeal for the Lord and in his zeal in the presentation of the gospel. He obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Again, another thing that I think would say, my sins are the bliss of his glory, sought my sins, but in part of the core, I nailed to his cross and I yielded no more. Praise the Lord, for my soul. So again tonight, as we think of Calvary, again, we remember this, that mercy there was great. But again, there are conditions, because again, God was saying, the whole now is accepted time, the whole now is the day of salvation. And it is a dangerous presumption to say tomorrow when God says today. Mercy there was free. And then the chorus goes on to say grace was free. And again, as we think of grace, remember Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And again, Ephesians 2, for by grace have we saved through faith. And that another of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John Russell, we should draw a lot of many, if not all, involved here tonight. He did some work in the house. And when he came with the account, and he paid it, he wrote over the account, paid in full. And you know, really, that is what's written over the message of the gospel, that the gospel has been paid in full by the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The poet says, pay, pay, pay. It swells into music within. Pay, 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 the penalty due to my sin. My Saviour has set my soul free. My peace with the Father has made. My day on the tree he has balanced for me. And it's pay, pay. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The cost of our salvation, our redemption, has been paid in full by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ there upon Golgotha. Again, someone has said this, that mercy withholds what we deserve, and grace gives us what we don't deserve. And again, the dictionary says that grace is to extend favor or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it, and who can never earn it. None of us deserve it, and none of us needs to pay for it, for the price has been paid in full. It has been paid, paid, paid. This morning, brother, there can be some in our reading of bread with all our redemption cost, all our redemption won, all it has won for us the Lord, all it cost me the Son. And again, in the earlier days, we were reminded that payment go alone, not choice of man, first at my bidding, shook his hand, and then again at mine. You know, these days in the business world, they're all after business and more business, and so often we read and we hear about some great offers. And then when we read the small print, we find that the other results is a great offer. But then tonight we have the opportunity in the gospel call here and in the movement to accept the greatest offer that has ever been given to mankind. And that tonight is the gift of God, which is eternal life. Remember this again, that Christ is not only offering you a better life, but the Lord Jesus is offering you eternal life through faith in him. Again, it has been said that to possess it is the richest treasure, to miss it is the supremest tragedy. I wonder tonight, now, have you received the gift of God, this greatest offer that's ever been made to any man or any woman? By faith in the Lord Jesus, you can receive the gift of God tonight, which is eternal life. Not what these hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what this thorny flesh has grown can make my spirit whole. By what the Lord my Saviour can ease the grief of sin, by blood alone, the Lamb of God, can give me
peace with him.
And again, as we pointed out, that the grace of God cannot be explained, but it can be experienced in your life. You can experience and enjoy the grace of God in some things, we might as well say, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm sure we're all come into contact with people who are overpowering. We find that they try to force themselves upon you. You know, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not like that at all. Because he says this, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again, we sometimes sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. The Lord Jesus will not force himself upon you. You must need to move yourself. Remember again, no matter how great your sin, God's grace, his grace is greater in your life. Like for later days, we hope they need, however great or small. As soon as we have not prepared, the Lord forgives us all. His perfect poverty alone that sets the soul at large, and we can call one night our own and have no flow discharge. Of course, his mercy was great, and grace was free. Going back to the book of Micah, I can't go very, very verses from Micah, but there is this, that God delights in mercy and in grace. So what does God want from you tonight? Again, as I've said already, he wants repentance towards him and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will enjoy his mercy and his grace. I think it was Spurgeon that pointed out that the promises of God are based on his power, that is, his ability to perform them. The warnings of God are based upon his holiness, but his mercy is always available to culminate them. It is mercy wholly that we are dependent. But I wonder tonight, friend, have you ever said to God, just from the depth of your heart, of mercy upon me, the sinner? You know, if you do that tonight, you will be eternally saved. And then we of course, we got to see pardon there was multiplying to me. Now, my English isn't very good, I'm sure you have noticed, but again, we have a good dictionary, and we find that the word pardon means to forgive, to allow to go unpunished. And that is what God is wanting you to do tonight. That's why Christ died. He wants to forgive you, and he wants you to go away unpunished, because the Lord Jesus Christ bear the penalty for your sin and mine bear it upon Golgotha. Guess I'm going to say this, that some imagine that a sense of pardon is an attainment only obtainable after many years of Christian experience. But you know, the forgiveness of sins is a present thing, a privilege for this day, a joy for this very day. And you can experience again God's pardon tonight, because the Lord Jesus died that we might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to forgive you and to allow you to go unpunished. Now again, in Nehemiah chapter 9, we read these words of God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, so to honor and of great mercy. I think that tonight you'll find this, that God is more ready to forgive than what you are to confess. And again, Hebrews tells us that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no longer. David wrote Psalm 25, and in Psalm 25 David says this, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And there we find in that Psalm that David found that the Lord was ready to pardon and not to punish sins as measures as the sea, from the more he cleanses me. No matter what you've done tonight, and what will be your will, you can receive a pardon by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 55, remember that the words are, seek ye the Lord for when he is found, call ye upon him for he is near. That the wicked forsake his way and in righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and hear the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. And we find the margin of the Bible says this, multiply to pardon. And that again is what he summed to make, pardon there was multiplied to me. Now sometimes, if we're wrong, we're sometimes reluctant to forgive, but not so with God. He's ready to pardon, he's ready to forgive. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read there concerning King Saul. And so says to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with thee, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king to Israel. You know, we learn there that Saul's plea for pardon, that was too late. Too late. Again, as we say, a dangerous presumption to see tomorrow when God says today. And again, we often say, oh, sin of God's patience. We really someday agree by such so little loss by woeful resistance you drifted away over the dead body at Mass. We were doing more at the holiday. And we're going on a strike. And I don't know how, but I told Ray that I'm interested. I was obsessed with punctuality. I hate being late. And this day I had in my mind that the bus was going to go to 10. And we went down just round about the half hour of it. Must have just been after the half hour because we discovered the bus was gone. And it was saying to Boris, I'm never going to believe that they missed a bus. But you know, we'll miss it anyway. But we're missing. Thank you, Lord, that I plead with you. Don't be too late and miss God's offer of salvation. Again, someone has said, one small state of the creatures is a great state to the blessing. But be sure, Lord, make sure that you don't just miss it. In Acts chapter 24, we read about a conversation with a man named Felix and Saul, or Paul. And it says that this man Felix heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ, now the reason with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. It says, Felix trembled. And he says to Paul, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. I do not read in the Bibles. I heard that this man Felix had another opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Never, we don't know if he ever had or this convenient season came in but his lifetime. We don't know. Could I say this? I don't think so. Another man, Acts chapter 26, and his name was Agrippa. And Agrippa says to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Now, I don't know, but I'm inclined to think that this man, Agrippa, never had another opportunity to be a Christian. Thank you, Mike, could I plead with you as well? Don't put it off. A dangerous presumption to say tomorrow that God says today. And what again, sometimes we sin in our work that we think almost persuaded not to believe, almost persuaded Christ we see, almost in another way, almost is about to fail, sad, that bitter way, almost, but lost. I pray that God is ready to pardon, and He will pardon abundantly, He will multiply the pardon. And tonight we would plead with you, ask God to pardon you before it is too late. Our head says almost, but was how sad it would be in the winter if you were always there and you put off and you are eternally lost. Therefore, as you want to say, there my burden soul found it good of death. Psalm 38 again says, for my iniquities I will lower my head, as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me, I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Again, that's what happens in Psalm 51. Again, I've quoted already tonight, a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise. Again, Psalm 55 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Again, someone say, Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat, I wait, blessed Lord, that thy crucified feet, by faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow, thy washing, and I shall be clear. And so, you know, if you do that, if you say that, then the Lord Jesus will do that in your life. So if you give your soul's burden, and I remember this, your burden can be lifted. Again, something just between you and God alone, in the quietness of your heart, just as you sit in your seat, this burden can be lifted by trusting the Savior. Some again have said this, the faith is not up to you, open wide the door to forgiveness. Yeah, I was only 14 when I was saved. I didn't know what redemption meant. and some things they're struggling yet. Sanctification, I don't know what sanctification meant then, I don't know what justification meant then. But day one then I did know, and I did understand that I was a sinner, and that Christ died for me, and believing that I was saved. There my burden so from the dead. At Calvary. It took a miracle to put the staff in place, it took a miracle to hang the world in stakes. But when he saved my soul and friends and made me whole, that was a miracle of love. And because I can say this, there my burden soul found another thing at Calvary. You know, again, as you go back to Isaiah chapter 61, we read of people there and it says, you know, the Lord Jesus was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, as they said in Luke chapter 4, said to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver us to the captives, they said that liberty they end up bruised. Oh, we all know people, I'm sure of this, who are held in bondage, and they're brokenhearted. They're held captive through bad habits that they can't break. Those people are there for a cooking. And they try everything and anything to resolve their problem without doing the only thing that works up, they resolve the problem. And that is coming to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. And known his power in their lives. Again, remember this, he's able to do more than we can ask or think. And your burden soul can't find liberty tonight to pursue the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. When you come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucify him. But I love that verse in Acts chapter 13. But God raised him from the dead. Thank God tonight, the Lord Jesus. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. And he sat finished there upon the cross, and God raised him from the dead, and he's now in. And one of the older brethren used to say this, he's gone away, but not to stay, he's coming back, perhaps, to be. You know, every one of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. You know, that put me before I was saved. I've seen it often here, my grandfather, man, he used to sing number 13 in the hymn book, standing on the promises of Christ our King. They stand by him, I don't know the number, come read it, love the world, and let the joys be known. You know, that was fine. But then he used to sing when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal light and care, and the save the rest of that road, under the shore, and the road has gone up under the air. As I knew that that was going to be true for 7 weeks. And I was frightened. I was frightened in case the Lord Jesus Christ came and I was alive. I wonder tonight, he's gone away, but not to say he's coming back. Perhaps he won't be caught up to be forever with the Lord if he did come tonight. You can have that assurance again by accepting him. I should say, yeah. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus himself says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me part of everlasting life and shall not come under condemnation, but is passed out of death unto life. And we understand that this word, believeth, is an active word, just as the word faith is. And that word believeth means movement toward, commitment to, and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder now tonight, have you ever done that? You know, you don't just drift into salvation. There's got to be a definite step, a definite movement towards God, a definite commitment to and dependence on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary. And if you do that tonight, you will be eternally saved. I was frightened, you know, before they have said in the other days when I heard about the coming of water. Remember, this fear is not fear. He says of Pilate, he was afraid. But as far as you know, Pilate never believed. It says of Felix, that he trembled, and as far as we know, he never believed. Remember this thing, and I fear this not faith. I was afraid, and I cared about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and you feel the same. But remember this, that fear is not faith. You've got to make this definite movement towards, this commitment to, and this dependence upon the finished work there. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be with us today. He's coming back, perhaps, today. Again, about the warning just before we come. How shall we escape if we endure so great salvation? You know, again, the word neglect means just to allow, just to ignore, and just to allow to pass by unnoticed, unresponded to. That tonight we'll be pleased with you. As you hear the the message of the gospel. God loves you, but God wants to save you. God doesn't want to punish you. Because at the end there, the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. May I say there with grace and grateful feet, pardoned there, was multiplying to me, there my blood and soul for the day. That come where I can see that in me. I want to continue. Come to the Savior. Made with the way here in His work, He has shown us the way. Here in the mercy, shine to be, stand with the Savior. Come. Our Father, again, I just thank Thee for the message of the gospel. Again, I know so the heart of God in Thy presence is made. And again, with a sweet prayer, as anyone who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior, that what they fear from Thy word to make this great remnant through you to faith and salvation. So what through this all, and take us all home safely. We thank Thee for the blessing, we thank Thee for the gospel, we thank Thee for the Savior. And again, we thank Thee for this great offer of salvation through faith in Him. We commend ourselves and we can ask Thy blessing. And by preservation, give thanks in His name.